Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
You think about our last cattle cycle, we had 31.6 or 7 million cows when we got to our peak in 2019. I would say when we get to our peak in 2030 or 2031, we're going to be looking at closer to 30 million.
That's Randy Block, CEO of Cattle Facts, on the cattle cycle, which is part of the reason why JBS has reached a labor agreement with workers ending their strike at its Greeley, Colorado beef facility and restoring normal operations. Resolution brings stability back to one of the nation's major beef processing plants, an important link in the U.S. cattle supply chain. Now, the contract runs through April of 2028 and will follow the company's previously offered economic framework. Wage increases include 70 cents at ratification, additional raises in 26 and 27, along with one-time bonuses. Now, the agreement does not include a pension. Instead, it continues a 401k structure after union leadership shifted funds towards wages. Operations at the Greeley plant, critical to regional cattle markets, disruptions at large processing facilities can impact fed cattle movement, pricing, and packer capacity across the High Plains. JBS noted in the agreement that it allows the facility to resume full production and maintain supply chain continuity. The company also emphasized long-term investment in the plant and the surrounding rural economy. Rising energy and fertilizer costs tied to the Iranian conflict pressuring farm margins, but the overall outlook for U.S. farm income, well, it remains uncertain rather than uniformly negative. Economists with the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue say the impact will really depend on how long disruptions last and how markets respond. But farmers, they say, are already adjusting. Lower fertilizer application rates, potential shift from corn to soybeans could reduce cost while tightening overall grain supplies, and that supply response may help support commodity prices. Energy market volatility, though, is driving those prices and reshaping the planting decisions. Tanner Emkes, an economist with Terrain, says the rising input cost and shifting price signals pushing producers towards soybeans and away from corn and wheat. Soybean acreage expected to increase while corn and wheat acres decline. Soybean prices increased nearly 12% in the first quarter, supported by strength in bean oil and biofuel demand, and corn prices gained about 4%, while wheat posted a stronger rebound of about 20%. But changes in immigration policy could significantly reshape the U.S. ag labor force this year, with potential shifts away from undocumented workers toward expanded use of H-2A guest workers. Economists with North Carolina State Extension say ag remains especially vulnerable due to its heavy reliance on foreign labor. Foreign workers make up roughly two-thirds of the farm labor force, with undocumented workers accounting for about 40% of hired crop labor. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We all know it's definitely very dry, and it looks like the forecast keep pushing for some locations. And like I said, hopefully in some other locations, they're lucky enough in getting rain, and that rain is going to help their crop, and not very stormy either.
Dr. Amanda Silva is Oklahoma State Extension Small Grain Specialist on the wheat crop.
A quick overview in the state, like southwest region, is severely affected by the drought. In that region, the wheat was planted late in some cases there, most cases actually, so it never got really a good rain to get established. And during the entire winter, very warm, with no rain, so hopefully now they're getting rain, and hopefully that can help some their crop. But I have also heard in that region that some fields were already adjusted, and like I said, very short, very thin, and they're not going to make it. Now, North Central, I think the wheat's looking a little bit better, Central Oklahoma, so hopefully the rain will help that crop to continue growing. The wheat is really early this year. The winter was just so warm and dry, and so the crop is just trying to push and trying to mature and trying to finish. Yes, and in most cases what we are seeing, it's a fairly short crop, thin, and heading out already. Right now, we can see, you know, earlier in like around jointing stage, it's when the crop is defining how many heads it's going to produce. And so the moisture really helps to sustain the number of heads per plant, the tillers. So right now, as the wheat's heading out, we can see how many spikelets are being produced. So basically, we can see head size. And so as we get moisture right now, that would help with kernel setting in those spikelets. So that would define grain number per head, which ultimately would define our grain yield. So right now, the heads are decided in those plants, and if we get moisture, we could help with those grains getting developed in the head, which could really affect our yield. So we are hearing about green bugs. We are hearing about brown wheat mites, which usually is very common, especially for the mites, for this type of mites to develop and grow when the conditions are like they were, so very dry and hot. We are also hearing reports of viral diseases like wheat streak mosaic, barley yellow dwarf. So if farmers are seeing yellow in their fields, it could be for different causes. It could be mites, it could be bugs, green bugs, it could be wheat streak mosaic virus, barley yellow dwarf. So they can either communicate with us, they can send samples to the diagnostic lab, which they've done already, and that's how we discovered that we had viral diseases out there.
She also talks about the importance of upcoming field days.
On one side, it's a good opportunity for us to look how varieties with different maturity patterns, different genetics, are holding up to the conditions. In some cases, we may not have a very good stand to show, but which is representative of the region.
Yeah.
But we do have topics to discuss on the latest research that we've been doing. And this year, in addition to discussing wheat varieties and their characteristics, we may have some additional topics, as including soil fertility, including weed management, agronomic management, like planting date, seeding rate, things that we've been doing in our programs in the wheat extension part of the OSU, and we'll be discussing that with farmers. So even though the crop may not be looking the way we wish, we'll be discussing topics that are very useful for farmers to know on the side of wheat management.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
Well, you know, every day, you know, hundreds of thousands of ranchers drive around checking water and pumps and wells on ranches because they have to. It's not an optional thing as to whether or not your cattle and your livestock have got water or not. You have to know.
Andrew Coppin is CEO of RanchBot.
We created a technology that would hook all of that water infrastructure into the internet using satellite sensors that would tell the rancher there was water availability, pick up leaks, tell them if the pump's on or off, even allow them to turn the pump on and off remotely without them even having to go there. And so we're saving ranchers, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in their operations, and more importantly, giving them time and peace of mind to know what's happening in the back pasture without having to go there.
High beef prices on tight cattle supplies and drought.
We've got the perfect storm of, you know, really high demand for exceptional beef that the US ranchers produce. You know, we've started a frenzy in red meat protein. So demand for our product is high at a time when our product availability is low. And that's predominantly after we've been dealing with sort of 6 or 7 years of drought across most of the rangelands of America. And as you point out, Texas now at the end of winter is looking very dry. And across all of the rangelands in the US, sort of 60 to 70% of the rangelands are in the early phases of drought again. So a rancher's decision as to whether or not they're going to retain heifers and grow out their herd is heavily driven by the availability of grass and water being the two key inputs. And if you're looking at a drought, your option to hold cattle and continue to build out your herd is limited. Add to that, we've got increased fuel and gas costs at the moment. It's a tough decision for a rancher to make. Am I going to take the risk? If I don't have grass, I'm going to have to bring in feed. That's going to be more expensive. Transport's going to be expensive. So, you know, the economics of ranching are challenging at the best of times.
And then there's input cost.
Increasing oil prices, you know, which is sitting at, you know, $114 a barrel today, is a tax on everyone. I mean, not a lot happens in the world without something moving from A to B. And ranching is no different. In fact, ranching is very, very heavily dependent upon transport. Moving cattle from the market to the ranch, moving cattle from the ranch to the market, driving around in the F-250 or the Dodge Ram, checking water, checking fences, checking cattle. The expense line in any rancher's P&L for fuel and wear and tear on vehicles is very significant. So when we see an increase in price of, you know, 30 or 40% over a couple of months, you know, ranchers can't stop doing those jobs, necessarily, unless they think differently about how they're doing it. And that's sort of where RanchBot can step in and keep those fuel costs down by 30 or 40% and effectively offset the fuel price increase. Of our 12,000 plus customers, we hear readily that we do save them tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in fuel costs. So I think there's never been a better time for ranchers to reassess, hang on, if I can't negate the gas price increase, what can I do to keep the costs lower?
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
So let's talk just a little bit about South Africa corn production.
Looking at the latest April WASDE, the chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board, Mark Chekanowski.
South Africa, just for a little bit of background here, it's a top 10 producer in the world. It's an important exporter, mainly to sub-Saharan Africa. Grows a lot of white corn. More than 50% of the corn production there is white corn. And generally speaking, they've had very favorable growing conditions this year. And here's just a rainfall trace. So the main production region within South Africa can kind of be broken into the east and the west growing area. In the east, rainfall a little bit below average, but as you can see, no extended periods of dryness that would have really stressed the crop. Overall, timely rains throughout the season. In the west, even much better conditions, somewhat above average rainfall. And importantly, throughout the growing season, no concerns with heat stress, good temperatures, and supporting a favorable production outlook. And that the favorable production outlook is also supported by satellite data. The Vegetative Health Index shows the health of the vegetation through the main growing area here is quite strong. You want to see the greens and blues. That's the strongest values of those VHI values, and that's where we clearly see a lot of those greens and blues in that main production area. So so in summary, we raised production, raised South Africa's corn production forecast by about 5% from last month. This reflects both higher area, both a increase in area that is based on official data from the Crop Estimates Committee in South Africa, and we raised the yield based on these growing conditions I just described. So the global corn balance sheet, a few things to talk about here. Feed use up 1.3 million tons. That is mainly higher feed use in India, where, again, I just noted earlier, the much larger crop in India. Also higher feed use in Turkey, reflecting increased imports by Turkey. And that's partially offset by lower feed use in the EU, a little bit smaller crop there, and lower feed use forecast in Iran based on lower imports to shipments to date observed. Shipments to date into Iran, suggesting lower availabilities for feed use. Global corn trade up 400,000 tons this month, mainly higher exports out of South Africa, which we just discussed, the larger crop there, larger exports from Russia and India, all countries that are showing larger supplies this month. Ending stocks raised 2.1 million tons. That is higher ending stocks in India, South Africa, and a little bit higher in Brazil as well. U.S. corn balance sheet, no changes to any of the categories this month, except season average price. We raised 5 cents per bushel, now at $4.15 per bushel. We're expecting a little bit of a seasonal rise in prices in the months ahead. And at this point, 60-65% of that crop is marketed or thereabouts.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about Cotton Research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Demand patterns were definitely mixed in March, first with the good.
Kansas State livestock economist Dr. Glenn Tonser, he's the editor of the Meat Demand Monitor.
The food service demand side, all our metrics were up. So there's eight different categories we're tracking each month there. And in all eight cases, the representative or the mean U.S. resident appears willing to pay more for a dinner meal away from home in March than it was February. And quite honestly, we need to see more of that for some recovery in the food service channel. We can come back to that if you want. But it was offset by a bearish point. And that is six of the eight things we track for retail. So think for at home, we're down in March compared to February. So there's largely just a one sector gain, the other one lost kind of story here in March. I just want, you know, demand for the industry to grow in general, right? And I'm highlighting one of the channels, food service specifically, has a couple years of more challenge to it. There's examples where the retail channel has carried food service. It's more than offset weakness in food service. One of my growing concerns, particularly in the middle of our Middle Eastern disruptions with higher gas prices and macroeconomic disruptions, is if the public gets more pessimistic about their finances, and we're going to get to that here in a minute, and there's some examples of that, they become more price sensitive. And one of the things they do when they become more price sensitive is they go to restaurants less. So that can hit food service restaurants channel more than grocery store. It's nice to see March numbers are up, but I'm trying to put a pin in this is we need to see it for a few more months. So we have something we call protein values in the MDM. And we put a list of 12 things in front of folks and price is one of those 12. And we ask, what are the four most important factors in your decision to buy or not buy protein? I always had to say taste and freshness, regular, the most important. To just like put a pin in that, that's really important. I think it's favorable for the beef story we talked about earlier. It's also why the pork sector has its Taste What Pork Can Do campaign that's fairly new. You know, they're pinning into the most important factor. But price is the third on that list of 12. And, you know, as I noted here in our notes for you and I to bring up, it is growing. This is the third month in a row we've had an increase in the role of price compared to several of the other factors. And I think that's a macroeconomic concern that's showing up. So we're seeing a decline in environmental impact, origin traceability, animal welfare, use of antibiotics and hormone-free are the four we see like deterioration in a relative importance of the typical U.S. resident. And we're seeing some increase in price sensitivity. So we track the household financial sentiment. Very similar to what the University of Michigan does. They put out their consumer sentiment index survey that's more broad. It's not meat specific at all, but our listeners are probably familiar with it. And one of the things they do is, how are your finances, household finances today compared to a year ago? Are they better? Are they the same? Are they worse? And we've, for quite a while, reported that out regularly. And here in March, we conclude that 16% of the public say their finances are better than a year ago, and that's great for them. The most common response is 48% tell us they're the same, so materially no big change. But unfortunately, over a third, specifically 37% of the public, tell us their finances have weakened, you know, this March compared to March of 2025. And what's important for the meat community in that, and I've alluded to that already a couple times today, is we see a shift in food market channel. So you pull back on expenditures away from home more. Okay. And then real narrowly within the meat space, if you tell me your finances are worse than a year ago, you're less likely to tell me you had beef in one of your meals yesterday, or you're more likely to have it in fewer than somebody else. And the same comment holds for pork and chicken, by the way. It's not, you know, unique to beef, is folks put meat protein in their diet at a much higher, more frequent rate if they think their finances are improving, because there's this macroeconomic, you know, consumers income effect, you know, wealth effect makes you more able and willing to continue to spend for meat protein. And that's really important. That's not new. You know, here in 2026, it applies, but I would have said that if I was talking to this audience in 1966, that's a new, just fundamental point, but the MDM helps us track it. And I'm trying to like connect it for our listeners. The disruptions in the Middle East are just the latest thing that put us kind of concerned about that financial sentiment. And it's important to watch it.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Demet, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
All right, soybeans, global soybean production. I put up last year's production forecast here on the left side of the slide, mainly just to highlight that we raised Brazil's production estimate from last season by a million tons. And this is just a, you know, based on updated use data. We're taking a full accounting of the supply and use within Brazil.
Dr. Mark Jackanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board. And reacting to the most recent April WASDE report, the World Ag Supply Demand Estimates.
Served a higher crush based on data that they released. Given their use, crush in exports, it was pretty clear that they had to produce more than we had originally forecasted, just to account for that higher use. So so that is reflected in this million ton increase in production forecast for last season. For this season, 25-26, Paraguay raised 500,000 tons. Also raised our South Africa forecast a bit, and that's consistent with that good weather that we talked about for South Africa corn as well. And those increases are partially offset by a reduction in our production forecast for Uruguay, where it has been relatively dry this season. Global soybean balance sheet, beginning stocks estimate raised a million tons. That reflects that increase in Brazil, carrying in higher stocks into the new year. Crush, global soybean crush raised 1.4 million tons. That is higher crush in the U.S., Brazil, and Algeria. Trade shows no change on net this month, but there are some offsets there. We're forecasting now higher exports out of Brazil and Paraguay, offset by reduced export forecasts for the U.S. and Uruguay. Ending stocks down 500,000 tons, and that is tighter stocks primarily in Brazil and Argentina. And we're back. All right. U.S. soybean supply and use. Let's see. U.S. crush raised 35 million bushels. Based on observed pace of crush and reflecting strong soybean meal domestic use, strong demand there, pulling that crush higher. That's offset by about an equal reduction in our export forecast, adjusted lower this month based on just the observed pace to date that we've seen, and also strong competition from South America, where prices are a bit lower than in the U.S. We're at a price premium to South America. So, so that competition, and given the current pace, is why we reduced our export forecast this month. Season average market price raised 10 cents per bushel, now at $10.30 per bushel. And that would be up year over year, 30 cents.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.